you receive the article for today?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, about pets.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
Yeah, because
many different perspectives, I think. So, did you also receive the questions that I sent you to the discussion board?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
I do have 5 questions for me.
Okay. Great. And I thought that those could just be a guideline. I mean, we don't have to stick with those exactly, but I thought maybe those could you know, get us started in discussion.
Yeah, yeah. It's easy to go through the lessons and talk about these articles. So I think it's really helpful.
Okay, good. Well, are you ready to get started discussing the article?
Sure.
Okay, great. So I guess to begin with, I was just wondering, what is your overall feeling? You know, do you think that pets are indeed overprotected?
I agree some part of what Brian said, but totally I think I agree to Ida, and I think as Ida said that he is a little bit extreme.
Right, I agree.
Yeah, went to extreme. So, yeah, I understand his feeling, but I think he has never have a pet in his life, or he said he like pet, he like animals, and he said he like pet, but still, well, I think I doubt he has no experience to have pet or
And have you had a pet before?
Yes, I used to have a dog and recently, and when I was a child, I had cats and dog and yeah.
So considering that you do have experience, you know, as a pet owner at various stages of life, what do you see as the pros and cons to owning a pet?
The pro is which is pro and con? I'm just confusing.
Pro is yes, con is no.
Okay, so I'm on the side of pro. Pros.
And so what do you see, like, as the positive points or the negative points of owning a pet?
Pet gives, we share the love and sometimes having pets is sometimes a little bit hard to take care and when the pets, we have to take care every day, and sometimes I sometimes have to give up the traveling for a long travel or travel.
Right.
Have to stay at home or have to, especially for having doggy, and I have take him out and or walk together, take him walk every day when it is sometimes it's snowy or rainy.
Right, but he doesn't care.
But at the same time, he gives me a love, and when I feel down and on the way walk together, he sometimes give me, it's for me they have some feeling of to try to understand the human beings or the owner's feeling.
So sometimes, really?
I don't know what they are thinking, but sometimes I feel when, especially when I feel down, and I try to talk to him, and Pocky, I feel so bad, and today I had these things, and I really disappointed, and when I feel that way, he looked at me and seems to me, what's wrong with you, or what's happened, or...
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
So, only that kind of looking me up, or his feature gives me some cureness or healing.
That's really amazing. That it is truly. And I guess. Oh, please continue.
Yeah, that makes me really feel free or relax and really help.
That's amazing. I mean, I've heard, you know, that for people with disabilities, you know, dogs or pets or even ponies, you know, or horses can be wonderful for people who have different learning or physical or mental challenges, that, that pets can be really helpful because, like you said, they're so sensitive. So picking up on that point about pets' sensitivity, you were saying earlier that, you know, even if it's raining or snowy, you know, you'd still have to take your pet outside. Did your pets ever, like, did they want to go outside in the snow or the rain? I mean, obviously they had to use the bathroom, but did they, did that bother them that, you know, the weather wasn't so good?
My dog really loves going outside, even if the weather is bad or good or...
So that's interesting because I guess pets' sensitivity may be to people's emotions more than weather, possibly.
But sometimes I force him to... Oh, it's raining. What should we do? Are you really wants to go out or just stay at home? And sometimes he look like, okay, I'd rather stay at home today. Or
right. Maybe because he's picking up on your emotions.
Yes, yes.
That's really fascinating, don't you think, that pets, you know, are so tuned in to people's emotions more than something like the weather, which might bother a person but not a dog.
That means I control his feeling or his mind or I never thought. No.
Well, in a sense, yes, but in another sense, I think he can help you control your own feelings, right? If he senses that you're disappointed, he can help you.
Okay, that's right.
Wow. So that's pretty amazing, I guess. And I think that are pets common in Japan? Do many people have pets in Japan?
It's really popular. Basically, the popular pets are dogs and cats, and some kind of many unique pets, such like lizard or other. But basically, it's really popular to have dogs and cats. Maybe it's really easy to take care, or some dogs don't need walk outside, not every day, but
And generally, are the dogs, like the pet dog pets in Japan, are they usually smaller dogs, or are they ever larger dogs, do you think?
It depends on the person's taste. And but the fat, recently, the big golden retrievers are really popular. And
really?
And small doggies, such like a chihuahuas or, so I can't say which one is more popular. But some person who lives in the Tokyo area, maybe it's easy to have pet small dog at their apartment or...
Right. And so when you just said that golden retrievers are becoming more and more popular, you know, that actually surprised me, because one thing I noticed in Japan when I was there was that it seems like mainly the dogs are small dogs. So that's interesting to hear that golden retrievers are becoming more popular. Is that a problem in terms of space for people? I mean, you know, having larger dogs? Like, is that okay? I mean, the size of the dog?
But the people who can have the bigger dog... the number of the people who can own the bigger dog is limited.
Right. Do you think, do they have to have a big house or a big yard, or what do you think?
I think for the dog, they need a bigger yard or a bigger house. Actually, it's really hard. Their house for the, you know, the Japanese house is smaller for the, not only for the having pet people, but also the own family.
Right.
So maybe the much bigger house needs the owner of the bigger pet.
That's pretty interesting, because I mean I did notice when I first got to Japan that, you know, most of the pets are usually smaller pets. But it is interesting to hear that's changing, you know, maybe a little bit anyway. So I guess getting back to Brian for a second, do you agree with Brian that there are a lot of irresponsible pet owners?
I saw some people are the really irresponsible. Yeah.
And in what ways have you seen them to be irresponsible?
After the dog is finishing the poo-poo,
right,
they just ignore the, never pick up the doggy's poo-poo and just leave it away. Or so I have an accident too.
Right. Yeah. And so any other ways have you seen them being irresponsible? So one would be, you know, not picking up after the dog.
Uh-huh.
But have you seen sort of irresponsible pet owners in any other way?
Still, there are the stray cats. I saw many stray cats, and they stole... Some person start to having pets, and finally they can't take care the keep taking care of the pets, and they stall or leave away at the park or
right. Yeah, that's kind of amazing. And what do you think has been the cause of so many stray cats?
Maybe the bus control or how to protect the pregnancy or operation is the rate of operation, no, charge of the operation charge is very expensive, and who paid the money, or sometimes to the person who owned the pet doesn't doesn't want to pay the extra money for the operation, and they don't do the operation, or other to do some kind of operation is really some person doesn't want to do something to extra I think some people believe the natural thing is good for the pets or
But you know what? That's one thing that really, really surprised me when I first got to Japan, was how many stray cats there are. That honestly, it actually shocked me. And I definitely understand what you're saying about the expense of operations, because pets are expensive to begin with. So, you know, operation can be expensive. But if you're a pet owner and you have a cat who has not had an operation, so the cat is going to have kittens, well, then can't, as a pet owner, can't the pet owner sell the kittens? Yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, to a pet store.
Maybe the cat is the purebred,
right?
Club bred. Maybe they can sell the pet shop, but the if the cat or dog is mixed or no, it's no barrier, so nobody wants to. Then also, it's really hard to have pet if they have apartment. Having pet is permitted or not permitted, so they can't have a pet. And I saw many stray cats, and my former dog is also stray dog.
That's a really good point, that I guess that the cat or dog would need to be purebred in order to sell it to a pet store. But one of the things that is common in the U.S. is sort of nonprofit pet associations or pet organizations, like pet adoption companies or organizations. And
I know some association organization in the Urawa. The association take care of the stray cats and dogs, and to to gather the donation and to feed them or to find the owners to adopt dogs or cats.
Because I would say in the U.S., and I'm just guessing, so I'm not sure exactly about this, but I would guess that about 50% of pet owners buy a pet from a pet store, but another 50% adopt a pet from an association or something like that. And so I would think that, you know, if people have a cat who then has kittens that they don't want, that they could just give them to this pet adoption association instead of just putting them on the street.
But the group of such kind of association or organization is few in Japan.
That's interesting, because in the U.S. it's a national association, and then they have regional chapters. So it's like a national pet adoption association, and then in each state they have, you know, a specific regional association. So I think that there are probably plenty of places that people can go conveniently in the U.S. to adopt a pet or to give a pet up for adoption.
I'm not sure. I don't know whether there is some kind of there are some kinds of associations in Japan, or just I don't know the whether they are existed or not in Japan.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because it's you know, it can be a major issue if a pet, you know, can become such a good friend of a person, you know, or a child or an older person or any person. You know, it's just sort of interesting when there are either so many stray cats or cats or dogs up for adoption. So that actually brings me to the fifth question. We can skip maybe number four, but just move on to number five. You know, when Brian's talking about all of the money that pet owners spend on pets, you know, maybe they'd be better off spending that money on adopting a child in a developing country or donating money to help train seeing eye dogs. What do you think about that?
I think it's valuable to spending money on adopting a child or in a developing country or on donating money to help training seeing eye dog, but I think it's incredible to compare these things. I think I don't like I can't stand or I don't understand the people who spend money taking dog to onsen with them or pet restaurant, and I can't understand what they are feeling. It's a kind of different thing. The having pet and donating the money for the child in developing country, and that's I can't say compare or talk at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's such a good point. And actually that reminds me of an interesting English phrase that when we want to say that, you know, you really can't compare these two things. You can say it's apples and oranges.
Apples and oranges.
Yeah, meaning you're not comparing one apple with another apple. You're comparing one apple with an orange, so that's not fair. So when we're talking about this point that you're making, we say it's apples and oranges. You can't compare them.
It's apples and oranges. I can't compare them.
Exactly. Yeah. So we actually use that phrase a lot.
Okay. Yeah. I try to use.
Yeah, it's kind of a funny phrase, but it's true. We do use it.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. Well, I guess the time is about up, but are there any other, you know, points that you wanted to mention about this topic or about the article?
I think this topic is really interesting and seems to me easy to talk about, but after think about this theme, it's kind of deep and
yeah. Right. But I think maybe we got deep with this topic because of, you know, your such advanced level of English, but I would imagine if someone has a lower level of English, you could probably keep it very easy and not get deep.
Yeah, I think you lead the topic, and first you give the questions, and I imagine what the topic will and our conversation will go. And,
right.
But after the starting the conversation, the conversation goes back and forth and up and down. And
right.
So maybe because of your good lead, I can think deep part of this topic. But sometimes it's hard for me, sometimes I can say, but I can't find the exact word or the specific word for explain my feeling. So sometimes it's kind of hard time. And
well, I think that you did. Yeah, I think you explained yourself very well. I mean, I certainly could follow perfectly, and because I could understand you so well, that's why I decided to ask, you know, deeper follow-up questions.
Thank you.
I mean, I think it's a lot more interesting, you know, the deeper that we can get into conversation.
Yeah, and I really thank you.
No, well, it's only because of your ability. You know, because of your ability, we were able to do this.
Oh, I'm flipping.
Oh no! Maybe you need to go for a walk with a pet.